Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Insights from the Couch. Today, this is part three of Getting Over a Breakup, the other side of breaking up. This is about what the person who breaks up the relationship goes through. Well, you have been in a relationship for a while. It may have been a month, a year, 30 years. If you're the one who's breaking up or calling for a divorce, you're facing a lot of dilemmas, frequently even sympathetic emotions. There are two sides in the breakup, the one being the breaker-upper, so to speak, and the other, the breakee, the one who's being broken up with. In part one and two of Getting Over a Breakup series, we focused on the person who has been on the receiving end of being broken up with and about general emotions and cognitions we have after a breakup. Today, however, we're going to focus on the person who's doing the breaking up. Most people don't want to hurt other people, especially people they've been in an intimate relationship with. You may not necessarily hate the person. You may have been in a relationship that was never meant to be, so to speak. There are many feelings that go along before making the decision and afterwards. It takes courage to say the words, will there be drama? Will the other person hate me forever? Will they want revenge and make life harder for me? Will they beg for forgiveness or for you not to leave? Oh, the guilt gets worse. Other feelings are feelings of doubt. Am I doing the right thing? Is it really that bad? Hi, I'm Karen Weary Cole, licensed marriage and family therapist of Insights Counseling Center, Inc. in Orange City, Florida. I would have to say that the last 8 years of my life have been the greatest learning curve I have ever been through. And besides my educational background of having a master's degree in marriage and family counseling and 20 years of clinical experience in working with clients of all ages and walks of road, I find that my personal life journey, has set me apart from where I was and who I was and what I have to offer people who seek my help. As a therapist, I'm trained to never talk about my own story when I'm working with clients, and the only time to share perhaps a tidbit is when and if it will benefit the client I'm working with in that particular moment. Hence, in this place, on this topic, and because I'm not acting as your therapist in this moment, I believe sharing some of my personal background adds to today's topic. 11 years ago, I had the most beautiful baby boy. Motherhood is an awesome role and an even more awesome responsibility. During those first years, I found it most important to spend as much time with him as at all possible, and placing him in daycare all day so I could work was difficult for both of us, to say the least. But we could not afford to live on only one income. Well, 3 years in, my son made it very clear that he was not having this whole separation thing and managed to behave in a way that got him kicked out of school. Not just one school, but two. So I made the decision that I had to quit my job in order to focus on him and his behavior. It was the scariest decision I have ever made. Sure, I certainly had been in financial predicaments before, yet that was when it was only myself I had to worry about. And that was easy enough. I can find a room to rent and live very conservatively. However, now I had this innocent little child depending on me. I can't just go live anywhere with a toddler. It has to be safe and child-friendly. Long story short is that I learned that I'm way more resourceful than I ever thought I was capable of. I learned what real anxiety is and how to cope with it and how to eventually make tough choices to change my situation, so I'm living in alignment with who I really am. And that is where my story becomes apropos to this topic. I was the one who broke up the family, and that is exactly how it feels. Being the person who breaks up does not mean that you're a cold-hearted B. Sometimes you have choices to make that none of the choices look attractive. I use this quote from Steve Jobs all the time from his 2005 Stanford graduation speech that sometimes what seems to be the worst thing that ever happened to you turns out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. There are many reasons why someone decides that it's time to break up a relationship. sometimes one person in the relationship grows more than the other, and the other never catches up. This can end up being a gap that feels like the Grand Canyon emotionally, that leads to feelings of loneliness and emptiness. Sometimes it's a matter of irreconcilable differences, as they call it in court, that could be on any number of topics. A biggie is communication. The funny thing about communication is that we sure all know how to talk. It's more a matter of learning how to word things so your partner can receive it, and learning how to listen to your partner, not just hear what they're saying. The difference between when you listen as opposed to hear is you're setting aside your own agenda while your partner talks and hearing the undertone of what's being said. All of this is an entire topic for another day, though. One thing that is important to keep in mind is while it can be helpful to talk to friends and family about what's going on and how you're feeling about your relationship, it is crucial that you take time to be still and listen within. The reason being that your friends and family have their own agenda and their own fears that they project onto you, oftentimes unbeknownst to themselves. The thing is that you are living in your household with your significant other. Hence, it is you who must make the final decision whether to stay or to leave based on what's going to be healthiest for you. And if children are involved, keep in mind that taking care of yourself is a huge part of taking care of your children. Your children will know that you're miserable and you're role modeling a sad, dysfunctional relationship. Many kids who grow up in such households decide that marriage is not for them, too scary because of what they saw in their parents' relationship. So what does it mean to tune in and listen within? Our bodies speak to us all the time. We frequently drown it out with external noise, cell phones, computers, TV, friends, family, coworkers, books, radio, anything to keep from being quiet. Why? Because it's easier to follow what other people say, as it makes it not your fault. You get to please other people who are important to you, and you don't want to turn them against you. There are many reasons why we prefer to listen to what other people say rather than listen within. Another reason is that when we have spent most of our lives not listening within, there's so much repressed emotion that it can be incredibly painful. Think of it as having a giant pile of cow dung heaped into the center of your being, an entire lifetime of cow dung, and never doing any cleaning out. Yeah, it's going to be pretty stinky in there. Whew. Well, it does not have to be that scary. Taking a little time every day, and I mean you can spend as little as 5 minutes to turn off all outside stimulation. Take some long, slow, deep breaths and ground yourself into the present here and now. Now notice how your body feels. Does it feel heavy or light? Are you tense in certain areas of your body? Is there churning or tightness in your stomach or head or chest or in all of the above? What are your emotions? Do you feel sadness? Do you feel dread the next day? Do you dread the next day or the next moment? What parts of your life make you feel happy, and what parts do you wish away? Trust the information you're gathering here. Another source is to go to a therapist. This is a person who has no agenda or personal involvement in your life. Therapists are trained to help you sort through life issues and can give you tools specific to what you and your situation is and to help you work through the decision you have to make and the emotions that go along with those decisions. I find that taking time to meditate, whether it be a guided meditation or a quiet meditation, and reading self-help books about personal growth and journaling all help tremendously. Talking with friends has always been super helpful to me, and I find I happen to be friends with some pretty terrific therapists as well. When I feel myself getting off track, I find a therapist to help me get realigned so I can be all there as a therapist to my clients, be a mom who is all there for my son, and be a business owner and employer who's on point. There were times as I was going through my divorce where I had bouts of crying spells. I was on an emotional roller coaster, and as far as grieving goes, this is a form of grieving, This is normal behavior. However, at a certain point, I need to get a hold of myself. So I reach out for professional help with a therapist who does EMDR, which is a particular type of therapy that is very helpful with processing difficult emotions. That was extremely helpful for me. I share this information because still to this day, many people think that in order to get therapy, you have to be crazy. Yet, it's like anything else. Prevention and early detection is the best way to go about your mental health. Again, consider the spillover effect of being emotionally distraught, that being emotionally distraught has on all aspects of your life. It affects your job, your kids, your friends, your family, and your social life. So take a little time out for yourself. You'll actually save yourself a lot of emotional pain and anguish. Save your figure from not overeating and gaining lots of weight. Your friendships, your job, which is your financial health, and your physical health because you're managing your stress. Well, next week will be part 4 of the series where we focus on healing and moving on. Yes, there is life after a breakup. Once you have dug through the crap, it can be a beautiful and amazing world out there. Thank you for listening in today, and I can't wait to meet with you next week.